This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Time once again to talk cars, more specifically yours, your car, your truck, your van, the problems you may be having, and that you need to bring it in for service. It's your favorite deal, your favorite shop, but you want to know what could be ailing before you do that. Always great to have more information than less. And the guy that's going to give you a little analysis on the radio is none other than ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things with you and family? Everybody good, I hope?
Yeah, things are good. You know, we have, as I mentioned beforehand, we have a quiet week and we don't have any extra activities that we're driving all around for. So this will be a nice weekend.
You're a busy enough guy, and the kids make you even busier. What's going on at Lloyd's? Is it kind of a normal week, people getting ready for spring and summer driving?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I did notice the road crews are out there filling potholes, so hopefully we'll get past that season quickly as we transition into summer. But no, it's been, you know, a nice, good, steady stream of work, and everyone done with their spring break vacation, so we're fully staffed and getting all those cars fixed.
Very good. Well, we're here to help our listeners out. And keep in mind that Nick will be with us till about 7:45 when Ted Farrell steps in with his wine chat. So we always like to say, call Nick or text Nick sooner rather than later. We always run out of time, it seems like, before we get everything taken care of. So, yeah, call us or text us. Just one number for either, 651-461-9226. Let's see. One came in earlier today. Here's one. 2014 F-150, the Service Advanced Track Warning Light came on. I now have no power steering. What should I do?
Definitely need to bring that in. I'm not sure why the traction control would have any effect on the power steering, but regardless, those are your warnings. You know, there's obviously a need for the vehicle there. I would get on somebody's schedule soon. Look at it and see what's going on, see if they're related. They may not even be related. Maybe, you know, incidentally, two things happened at once, but, you know, they'll access the computer system, retrieve some codes, do a visual inspection, and then once they've done that, they can give you an idea of what's going on and what you might be looking as far as repair.
Remember several years ago, I was driving at the time the old Ford Explorer that you guys worked on for 100 years, and I'm on 494, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I can't steer this thing. It was almost frozen. It was like some old, what we call a lumber truck. And I finally was able to get off the highway and pull into a safe place and call AAA and have them towed it to Lloyd's. And it turned out to be, what do you call that belt?
Serpentine belt. So,
absolutely. Yeah, that's what it was. Does that happen often?
Not as much as it used to, you know. You know, belts have gotten better. The way they design the vehicles obviously has gotten better. And also, some of the newer vehicles will have an electric power steering assist. So things keep evolving. You know, you go back far enough back, you had V belts. We'd have two or three, or some cases, four different drive belts on the front of that engine. And as they evolved, they created the serpentine belt, which that one belt kind of did all the work for everything. And now, like I said, more and more vehicles have electronic power steering, electronic water pumps. There's more and more of these electronics working into the vehicles, which, you know, I believe will make them more reliable.
Yeah, that makes sense. Nick, let's grab a phone call. Steve is checking in from Maple Grove, I believe, this morning. Hi, Steve. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Denny. Great morning. Hey, I'm 72 years old. I've driven a car for many, many years at 72, and I'm retired now, but I've been putting on about 50, 60,000 miles a year. Just about 3 weeks ago, I have a Equinox 2015, and I found out, long story short, a failing turbocharger. I think everyone needs to know about the turbocharger issues. I wasn't aware of it, and it's going to cost me about $3,000 total. Still waiting for the car. He said, the reputable guy, indicated GMs and Ford, not Fords, GMs and Chevys tend to be the big issues with turbochargers. Can you explain the turbocharger to everyone, the general conditions, what happens, what you'd be aware of, and what do you think about these costs, about $3,000 total? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt it's very expensive to repair. And I wouldn't pick on any particular manufacturer. They all go through their cycles. There's other manufacturers out there. Most of them do use turbochargers now, which takes the exhaust gases, works them back, turns a turbine to force the engine to consume more air, which creates more power. So it's a way of maximizing the potential out of the vehicle. It allows them to make the engine smaller, lighter. It does help with fuel economy, helps with emissions. So the turbochargers have been around forever, and they will continue to be. One of the biggest issues, my belief, is maintenance. Those turbochargers have oil running through them. There's very small passages. If those passages become restricted, there's not the oil there to lubricate and cool it, keep it working as designed. So the biggest thing you can do is help your vehicle and your turbocharger is change that oil. And as Danny knows where I'm going to go with this, a lot of the manufacturers have different intervals. I strongly believe 5,000 miles is the interval you need to change oil for the engine, turbocharger, and the rest of those components.
All right. And we haven't talked about this in a long time, but what is the difference between a turbocharged vehicle and a supercharger?
The supercharger will use a serpentine belt that we just discussed to spin the turbine to consume more air. So, you know, it spins the turbine, forces more air into the intake of the engine, which results in more power or power increase. The turbocharger uses the exhaust coming out the vehicle to turn that turbine to force that air back into the engine, once again creating more power.
Speaking of exhaust, I'm looking at this text. You got to help me with this one. Texture says this: my Ram 2500 is equipped with exhaust brakes, which are used when towing our fifth-wheel camper. I've read, Texture says, conflicting opinions on whether it's okay to use the exhaust brakes all the time, even when I'm not towing or pulling something. What is the correct use of that? What is that about?
Well, that's it's a diesel vehicle, and you know the big semis have them. You hear that where they use the exhaust to slow the engine, slow the vehicle down.
Okay.
So they do equip some pickup truck, larger pickup truck with that technology. And I'm not sure you should use it some for sure. I'm not sure if overusing it, what that would mean or entail. It kind of goes hand in hand with folks that used to downshift their vehicle to slow their vehicle down, using the transmission and the engine to slow the car down. I would ask around, I'd ask my peers. I don't think you probably, it's not designed to be used as your normal braking, obviously. But I think it is important to help support or slow vehicles down, especially when you have a heavy trailer on there. You're not putting all that load of stress on that traditional braking system. You're going to use that Jake brake, the exhaust, and the engine to help slow that vehicle down.
Very interesting. Tell you what, let's do. We're going to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners to join the conversation here. If you have any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you. You can call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. What else can we tell you? We have dropped to 30 degrees now. That's the current temp. Heading for about 46 today, with breezy day. How about your Sunday? Early morning, a chance of snow showers, just a little chance. Otherwise, sunshine again returns, 48 tomorrow. Again, 30 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. And Nick, we always like to ask you, for folks that maybe need the assistance of Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. So if you're in St. Paul, you'll find us on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. If you have a question or need some advice, please don't hesitate to call. We will always help. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. For that information and more, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get you that information when Nick, just before Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. A lot of texts coming in, 651-461-9226. Here's one we get from time to time. How often should I rotate the tires on my vehicle?
That is a great question, and it's really going to depend on the vehicle, the tire design, style. On my truck, it's got these big, bulky tires on it, and we rotate them every time we change the oil. So in some cases, that might be necessary. Some vehicles might be every other. On a rare occasion, maybe it's every third, but with the cost of tires, rotation is fairly inexpensive, and that really does help keep those tires wearing evenly, which means they last longer. So I would tell you, every other oil change is probably the norm. Some vehicles, like my truck, are more often. There might be a few cars out there. It's a little less common, but a very good maintenance thing to take care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Texter sends this in, Nick, 2013 Ford Edge. 133,000 miles on it. Is it important or necessary to have the brake fluid flushed when replacing all four brakes with pads and rotors?
I think that's a perfect time to do it. That's probably most commonly when we do the brake fluid service also is when we're replacing the brakes, whether it's all four, front or rear, depending on the condition of that fluid. But as we talked in the past, it is a maintenance item. It does get dirty, collects moisture, will affect the life longevity of the braking system. So it's a good maintenance item, and I think that's the right time to do it.
It's a battery question. Texter sends this in, a 2021 Toyota Highlander Hybrid. A friend warned me that the battery that controls the computer probably needs to be replaced around 5 years. Is there any warning light on the screen that would let me know if the battery is getting to the end of its life, or do I just need to bring the car in and have the dealer who wants to charge around $100 to check the battery for a replacement? And how much money should this battery cost? What kind of battery are they talking about here?
I'm assuming it's just a 12-volt battery. And
just the regular.
Yeah. Just a regular battery. Now, obviously, the hybrid vehicle, electric vehicles have a supplemental battery or larger capacity battery. And in some cases, with the start-stop technology, there might be an auxiliary battery. So a lot more electronics in the vehicle, a lot more need for that in those batteries. So 5 years, honestly, is a very good time frame. There are some that go longer, some that don't last as long. Having a test is probably a good maintenance item. Maybe when you're going for your next service, I don't think you need to make a special visit for it per se, especially if you're having no problems. If you're noticing some difficulty starting or some other things that seem different, probably a better idea to have that checked sooner than later so you don't end up stuck or stranded. So I think it's good maintenance. Next time you're in for service, mention the age of the battery, have them do a test on it and determine what's going on. As far as cost goes, all over the board. I mean, they can. There's some of the larger capacity batteries that can be almost $300. There's some that are probably closer to the 100. Yeah, it's all over the board. It really depends. But the lesson I'll share with you on batteries is, like with everything, don't buy the least expensive one because it will last the shortest amount of time. So
that's right.
That kind of goes hand in hand.
Yep, absolutely. Here is a 2011 Lexus RX 350. Texter says, I'm going to have the transmission fluid changed. They want to do what they call a dump and fill with no flush. It has about 170,000 miles on it. They're indicating that if you want to do a flush with that many a vehicle with that many miles on it, a lot of times one can have more problems than if you just do it the way they're recommending. What do you say to that?
It really depends the condition of the vehicle, the fluid, and if there's any symptoms that would make me think there might be something going on. I will also say that the drain and fill is probably the most common procedure. Obviously, you're only getting maybe a third of the capacity out, but if it's done on that regular maintenance schedule, that's sufficient. So if there's a reason, they're saying this fluid's extremely dirty, there's a lot of carbon, and there's another reason to do the flush, I would listen and hear them out and maybe perform that task. But I think on a normal wear and tear maintenance, the drain and fill is sufficient.
How often should transfer cases have the oil change? Texter says.
Good question. It is in the service maintenance. It's going to depend if it's a conventional fluid or the synthetic fluid. Obviously, synthetic fluids last longer. Some cases might be 30,000, 60,000 miles. Once again, you follow that guide that they gave you when you bought the vehicle, and that'll kind of lead you down the path.
I know that, generally speaking, you at Lloyd's don't do body. You're not a body shop or a place. But here's a 2010 VW EOS, a hardtop convertible. The top only opens part way. Any ideas what's happening there?
Well, there are a series of sensors, safety purposes and alignment purposes. We don't do body repair. We do get in some of the hardtop convertible stuff just because there's a lot of them in our community. And it can be tricky. You know, you have to really follow the diagnostic trouble tree. It'll kind of lead us down the path of which sensor, which lock and unlock of the different components as the car, as that top opens and folds and kind of recess back into the back of the vehicle. It's honestly, sometimes I think it's a miracle that they work, but it isn't nice to have the top down. So I would tell this person, if it's going halfway and stopping, it's not seeing one of those switches activate the way it should, bring that in. Hopefully there's a fault code in that module, that computer, kind of lead them on a path what to check and test. But I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. I'm sure you can get that top fixed before we hit summer months.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at a 2007 F-150, Texter says, with a V6 gas turbo. Do you know, they're asking, are there any lemon laws after 200,000 miles on a vehicle? We haven't. I don't know if we've ever talked about lemon laws here in the show.
No, I think that that interval, that time frame is probably well past any extended warranty or lemon laws, they said. And essentially what that is if you have a, and I, don't hold me to this because I don't know the word for word. It's very particular in the word, and I know that. But if you have a certain problem and it's attempted to be repaired and that problem keeps reoccurring, they deem it that there's something, a lemon of the vehicle, or there's something wrong internally of that vehicle of its own. And they might replace or repair or do something for you. If you're having an issue with the vehicle, build that relationship with that dealership. If you're having difficulties there, get a second opinion. Talk to another dealership. Ultimately, you talk with the manufacturer, and hopefully things will get resolved. You know, I don't know this particular case. I would tell you it's not very likely at 200,000 miles there's anything left as far as warranties or extensions go. But if you're having a problem, try to communicate, because I promise you, I truly believe with that communication, most problems can be resolved.
Very good. Nick, hang on. We're going to have a look at that CCO forecast. When we come back, we'll do more show. If you have any kind of a car question, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, and a bunch of texts, Nick. Let's see how many folks we can help out here before you take your leave. Here is a 2022 Mitsubishi Outlander. Last evening, Texter says, I went to start it, and it would not crank. Could the battery be shot already? We're talking, 4 years or so? Could be, right?
Very, very possible. As we had just mentioned, you know, I would say, and it's a too large of a window, but from 3 to 5 years is probably a pretty typical length and life of a battery. Depends on the make and model, depends on how much you drive. You know, if you're in the city, less start and stopping versus, you know, the longer drive cycle. So there's some variations there. Obviously, you bring the vehicle in, they'll test the battery and the electrical system to ensure you that there's something else going on that prematurely made the battery fail. But I wouldn't be surprised. There's sometimes you do see them at 3 years old that they've worn out.
Yeah. 1990 K1500 5.7, driving 10 miles or so, it misfires and shuts off. When it cools, half hour, it runs, drives 7 miles, misfires, shuts down, runs fine on short trips. The engine temp gauge is not overheating. What do you think is happening there?
I think you just have to stay close to home and listen to CCO.
Yeah.
There's something's heating up, you know, whether it's the module, the computer. There's this thermal cycles that happen with components in the vehicle. And obviously in this case, once it gets to that warm temperatures, things are expanding, flexing, changing, which causes that ignition system to shut down. So I would assure you, document this, share this with your dealership or your repair shop. They can take it for a test drive, have their scan tool of the equipment with them while they're driving the vehicle. Hopefully they stay close to home, and then they can record that data. So they'll see when the vehicle does fail or stalls, they'll know what component stopped operating. And that's kind of gets them to the point where they can figure out and do some testing.
All right. Another text says this, a 2019 Dodge Ram 1500 with the Hemi. How can you get it so the eco does not come on? Because I hear that when they do come on, when it drops the cylinder, that's not good for the engine. What's going on there? What is this texter referring to here?
So a lot of the manufacturers will shut cylinders off, especially like highway speeds where you don't need all that additional power because you're just at a cruising speed. You're not accelerating, you're not pulling, you're not doing that extra work, extra labor. So in order to save fuel and emissions, they might shut some of those cylinders down. Some of those systems have been known to have some issues. There are products out there which we don't get into to eliminate or delete those systems. You know, we tend to put vehicles back the way they were designed. Like I said, there's a lot of aftermarket. Do your research. Just don't assume anything. Ask your peers. Talk to the folks at the dealership or at the shop just to see if they have any success. But there are ways out there to eliminate or delete those systems.
Okay. 2023 Honda Odyssey texter says this. My husband says I should always push neutral and then push the drive or reverse and also push neutral before I put it in park. Is this true?
This sounds like a potential, he said, she said, I'm not going to comment. I don't think it's necessary. You should come to a complete stop before you go into any gear, whether it's forward, reserve, or reverse. But I don't think that extra step to go into neutral before you do that is necessary. But once again, I'm not going to get in the middle of a conversation at home. Like, I have enough of my own, so I'll stay out of theirs.
Yeah, being a therapist is not part of your ASC certification, I don't think. What about parking? You know, I think in the old days, and we talked about parking brakes a long time ago, but what about if you're parking on a hill? Remember they used to say, maybe you don't remember this, like if you're pointing down on a steep hill, you kind of crank your tires toward the curb and use your parking brake instead of just putting it in park. What about uphill? What about any kind of a grade? Is it good to use that parking brake once in a while?
Well, on newer vehicles, it's automatic. It's kind of designed into it. You know, even my truck, which is about a year and a half, 2 years old, when you are in an incline and you park, it'll set the parking brake itself, because what they've done is that they made they've attached an electric motor under those calipers. So when it sees that the vehicle is on a steep hill, it'll engage that parking brake as an extra security. You know, I mean, park typically will hold the vehicle, having the parking brake, and then, as you mentioned, having those wheels turned towards the curb. So if you're headed down the hill and you're parked on the right side of the road, you're going to turn them towards the. If you're going up the hill, it's the same idea, you're parked on the right-hand side of the road, you're going to turn the wheels to the left. So therefore, if the vehicle were to roll, that curb is going to work as a bumper to keep the vehicle from rolling down that hill. So, parking brakes. If you use it on a regular basis, that's good. If you haven't used it in a really long time, maybe don't do it quite yet. When you're in for service, mention to them, hey, I don't use my parking brake often. I just want to make sure it's going to operate, because the last thing I want you to do is to engage that parking brake and not have it release, because in that situation, having the vehicle towed. So if it's something you haven't used for a really long time, leave it alone until you take it in for service. Have them operate it, maintain it, lubricate it, adjust it, whatever might be needed, because you just don't want to be stranded or stuck somewhere.
Now, for those who still have a manual parking brake, what can happen? Does it get rusty? What's the deal?
Yeah, depending, once again, make and model, there's cables that will run underneath the vehicle. Depending the design, sometimes it's part of the caliper. Sometimes you still have like a drum brake type system even built into the rotor. So when you engage that parking brake, there's a lever that's pulling, and there's a mechanism inside there. If that mechanism is very rusty or dirty or full of debris, it may not release. And in those situations, that brake stays engaged. So the vehicle is not going to roll very well. Obviously, a tremendous amount of heat can be created and bigger problems from there. So, you know, once again, if you are a regular user of your parking brake, I'm sure it's just fine. Continue as you always have. But if you haven't used it in an extended period of time, next time in for service, have them look at it before you go and try it.
Okay. I think we have time maybe for one more. Here's a 10-speed transmission. Texter says that my 2024 1500 Silverado dropped at 6,000 miles. How common is this? Texter wants to know. Have you seen a transmission fail at that young of age?
That seems obviously really premature. There's always a defect in the world, so I'm not going to diss that transmission. My truck has this 10-speed transmission. Most newer trucks do. Once again, it's a way with those additional different speeds or gears. It helps with emissions and fuel economy. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of information online. Do your research. Care for what you read online. Once again, you know, in that situation, talk to the dealership. You know, and as we said earlier, if you're not getting making good headway with communication, there's always a second opinion out there too. So do your research. I don't, you know, obviously if it's 6,000 miles covered under warranty, but I don't think that's something that's very common. And I wouldn't expect that, but I'm sure they'll take care of it for you.
Yeah. Wow. Somebody must be thinking of spring cleaning because they want to know, texter says, how to clean an engine safely. They've watched videos on YouTube, among other places, and they say it looks, as long as you don't use a pressure washer, any tips on cleaning my own engine bay?
Well, that was the first thing. Do not use a pressure washer. We do, you know, you're not there to, you're really trying to get the dust in and, you know, out of there. A garden hose, very lightly, gently, take a couple of towels or rags and kind of wipe things down. You do not want water going into the intake of the engine. Obviously, if you're above the vehicle and you're gently doing it, you'll be fine. We do it on a daily basis, right? So it's not the end of the world. We'll also use like a cleaning agent or degreaser if we're doing some sort of repair with a leak. I would probably advise you not to do that because we are inside of a shop area where we can clean that up. If you're in your driveway, you're going to end up with this film all over your driveway. You don't want that. So I would say if you're a do-it-yourself or a nice, gentle rinse with the hose, a couple rags to dry it off will be sufficient.
Okay. I've seen videos myself of this, and this one particular case, the guy was maybe selling something, I don't know, that it was so clean, he said you could eat off it, and they had food and drink on top of whatever it was.
That's the internet for you, Danny. I would don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. But yeah, no. Be careful what you watch. And you know, we all know this. We all know. Just take it for what it's worth.
And if you really want to get it done, bring it to your favorite shop, you know, or whatever that you can trust somebody who knows what they're doing. All right, Nick, we're out of time. Nick, tell us how we can find Lloyd's Automotive.
Yes, sir. So once again, if you have a question, don't hesitate. We will help you. You don't have to bring your car to us, but we want you best informed to take it into your shop or dealership. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul and you're looking for us, you'll find us on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. For that information and more, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing, Nick, and let's talk next week.
Sounds good, Danny. Thank you.
Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.